Bronwyn, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. So NAPLAN, these glitches that we heard about that, as I say, has led to, well, a great deal of students having to reset tests, and there was obviously a great deal of frustration for some students around the glitches when we heard about them originally. What happened? Do we know?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Some people are blaming bandwidth. Others are blaming more of a hardware problem. I don't think there was one single thing that affected the, I guess, the functionality of these tests, but many different things all contributing to, as you said, about 30,000 students affected and needing to reset the test today, which is a lot.
Mm.
And the biggest concern I have about that is that it's a hassle for schools, not just the poor students that have to reset it, but the schools who have to spend a lot of time and energy trying to rearrange all their classrooms and teachers and movements. It's a big operation of school in order to make sure students can sit in front of the devices to reset these tests.
Mm. I know my mother was a teacher, and she would have plenty of things to say about NAPLAN just in general, regardless of any of these kinds of screw-ups.
I'm sure. Mm. One thing to keep in perspective, though, 30,000 is huge, and it's a big hassle for each of those students in every school they go to. But when you take into account all the students around Australia that are doing it, and this is something done by every second year by a student, years 3, 5, 7, and 9, it's only about 5% of the total. And when I think about, let's say, the latest census, it seems a bit like a major success compared to the cluster muck-up of the of census night, where many more than 5% were affected.
Now, logistically, you mentioned all around Australia there are many students obviously living in rural areas. We can't just sort of take into account those living in sort of urban areas where the internet and the bandwidth that you mentioned there is fairly reliable. Does the online format, or was the only change to the online format, failing to accommodate for them?
Well, it does indicate that there are more issues in rural and remote areas in terms of lack of, with it not going smoothly as intended. And that does indicate perhaps maybe they have fewer computers to go around on. Maybe they're using older machines. Maybe it is a connectivity issue, either with the machine or with the actual connection itself. We can do more than one thing, but we do know that schools and students in regional and rural areas do have extra challenges, and when it comes to do an equally great result as their counterparts in metro areas. They have the same amount of talent, but they just have more obstacles in their path, and I think infrastructure is a big part of that. And this is reflected then in the rates of students from rural and regional areas that go on to further study at TAFEs, unis and so forth.
Is it just balancing out those kinds of advantages or obstacles? It was quoted that 50% of Australian students did their tests online, while the other 50% were doing tests on paper. Was there an advantage to doing it all online or vice versa? That is, assuming that everything sort of went correctly with the system.
My talks with school principals, they more are in favour of the online system than the old paper system. And that is because they get the information back faster, so it can be used by schools to work out what literacy program is really working out. Is this new way of doing maths hitting the mark, or should we go back to the old one or a new one again? So I quite like the faster turnaround that you can get with the online test because of the speed. And the other key difference is that it's responsive. So the test actually adapts as the student goes along. So if they get a few wrong in a row, it will provide them with an easier question. If they get a few right in a row, it will provide them with a harder question. So at the end of it, instead of everyone taking the exact same test, they get asked different tests using a bigger pool of questions to have a more nuanced view of every student's sort of strengths and weaknesses within the tested areas, such as literacy and numeracy. So the key thing to emphasise here is we want to have as good an understanding as possible of how our students and schools and systems are tracking. And literacy and numeracy are the fundamentals. No one denies that. So we want to make sure these are right. But we can't ever for a second think that NAPLAN numbers are the expression of the value or worth or capability of a child or a teacher or a school. One good or bad NAPLAN figure in anything is just one data point to look at with everything else. It's really most valuable for schools trying to work out, well, we've swapped to this reading program, are our students doing better at reading?
Mm.
Or for a system to say, look, we've decided to fund three-year-old preschool. Is that making a difference? Yes, it is. This is where NAPLAN is really most useful for understanding what of the big programs you've introduced are hitting the mark, because you can compare year on year, quite fine grain, but also quite narrow pieces of data. It gets problematic when you try to think that it's indicative of the student itself, because we know there's so much more to any student, any teacher, any school, and you have to be careful not to overemphasize NAPLAN, but to put it into context amongst all the other fine grain and often much closer, quicker data that teachers and parents and schools are collecting and observing every day.
Mm. Well, Bronwyn, I really do appreciate you giving a bit of a chat with us about this one this morning. Obviously a very important one, as you say, and well, in terms of the test itself and these kind of glitches, and in terms of the programs, obviously much more to uncover. Do appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thank you, Sean.